يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَا تُحَرِّمُوا طَيِّبَاتِ مَا أَحَلَّ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ وَلَا تَعْتَدُوا إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُحِبُّ الْمُعْتَدِينَ
Believers, do not hold as unlawful the good things which Allah has made lawful to you, and do not exceed the bounds of right. Allah does not love those who transgress the bounds of right. Do not hold as unlawful the good things which Allah has made lawful to you. This verse embodies two directives. The first is that man should not attribute to himself the authority to proclaim things either lawful or unlawful according to his own wishes. Only that which God has held to be lawful is lawful, and only that which God has declared unlawful is unlawful. If men were to declare certain things either lawful or unlawful on their own authority, they would not be following the law of God, but their own laws. The second directive is that they should not adopt the course of world renunciation and abstention from worldly pleasures as the Christian monks, Hindu mendicants, Buddhist bhikshus, and Illuminist mystics did. Religious-minded and virtuous people have always tended to consider their physical and carnal desires an impediment to spiritual growth. They have considered suffering, deprivation from worldly pleasures, and abstention from the means of worldly sustenance to be acts of goodness and indispensable for achieving proximity to God. Even some of the companions leaned in this direction. The Prophet, peace be upon him, once came to know that some companions had resolved that they would fast without interruption, that instead of spending the night on their beds, they would remain awake praying, that they would consume neither meat nor fat, and would have no sexual relations with women. The Prophet, peace be upon him, addressed the people on this subject and said, "I have not been commanded to do so. Even your own self has rights against you. So fast on certain days, and refrain from fasting on others. Stay awake praying at night, and also sleep. Look at me. I sleep as well as stay awake, praying. Sometimes I fast, and sometimes I don't. I consume meat as well as fat. Whosoever dislikes my way does not belong to me." He then added, "What has happened to people that they have prohibited for themselves women, good food, perfumes, sleep, and the pleasures of the world, whereas I have not taught you to become monks and priests? In my religion, there is neither abstention from women, nor from meat, neither seclusion, nor withdrawal. For the purposes of self-control, my religion has fasting. As for monasticism, and all its benefits can be derived from jihad, struggle in the way of God. Serve God, and associate none with Him. Perform Hajj and Umrah. Establish prayers. Dispense zakah, and observe the fasts of Ramadan. Those who were destroyed before you were destroyed because they were severe with themselves. And when they became severe with themselves, God became severe with them as well. It is the remnants of such people who you see in the oratories and hermitages of monks." There are traditions to the effect that the Prophet, peace be upon him, once came to know that one of his companions was always so preoccupied with worship and devotion that he did not approach his wife for long periods. The Prophet, peace be upon him, called for him and directed him to go to his wife. On being told that he was fasting, the Prophet, peace be upon him, asked him to break the fast and proceed to his wife. During the reign of Umar, a lady once lodged the complaint that her husband fasted all day and prayed all night and had no relations with her. Umar appointed the famous successor, Ta'bi, Ka'b bin Thawr al-Azdi, to look into the matter. He issued the judgment that the husband had the right to spend 3 nights in prayer if he so wished, but every 4th night was the right of his wife. And do not exceed the bounds of right. Do not exceed the bounds of right has a broad signification. To hold the things which are lawful to be unlawful, and to shun the things declared by God to be clean as if they were unclean, is in itself an act of wrongful excess. It should be remembered at the same time that extravagant indulgence even in clean things is an act of wrongful excess. Likewise, to overstep the limits of the permissible is also an act of wrongful excess. God disapproves of all three kinds of excess.
وَكُلُوا مِمَّا رَزَقَكُمُ اللَّهُ حَلَالًا طَيِّبًا وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ الَّذِي أَنْتُمْ بِهِ مُؤْمِنُونَ
And partake of the lawful, good things which Allah has provided you as sustenance, and refrain from disobeying Allah in whom you believe.
لا يؤاخذكم الله باللغو في أيمانكم ولكن يؤاخذكم بما عقدتم الأيمان فكفارته إطعام عشرة مساكين من أوسط ما تطعمون أهليكم أو كسوتهم أو تحرير رقبة فَمَنْ لَمْ يَجِدْ فَصِيَامُ ثَلَاثَةِ أَيَّامٍ ذَلِكَ كَفَّارَةُ أَيْمَانِكُمْ إِذَا حَلَفْتُمْ وَاحْفَظُوا أَيْمَانَكُمْ كَذَلِكَ يُبَيِّنُ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ آيَاتِهِ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَشْكُرُونَ.
Allah does not take you to task for the oaths you utter vainly, but He will certainly take you to task for the oaths you have sworn in earnest. The expiation for breaking such oaths is either to feed 10 needy persons with more or less the same food as you are wont to give to your families, or to clothe them, or to set free from bondage the neck of one man, and he who does not find the means shall fast for 3 days. This shall be the expiation for your oaths whenever you have sworn and broken them. But do keep your oaths. Thus does Allah make clear to you His commandments. Maybe you will be grateful. This shall be the expiation for your oaths whenever you have sworn and broken them. Since some people had taken an oath prohibiting for themselves the things which He had permitted, God laid down this injunction regarding oaths made inadvertently. The injunction makes it unnecessary to feel bound by the terms of inadvertent oaths, and for which one will not be reproached by God. And if a person had deliberately made an oath, which entails sin, he should not abide by his oath and should expiate it. But do keep your oaths. To be mindful of one's oaths has several meanings. First, one should make proper use of oaths and should not employ them either frivolously or sinfully. Second, when a person takes an oath, he should take care not to forget it, lest he be led to break it. Third, when a man deliberately takes an oath regarding something sound in itself, he should pay the penalty if he happens to violate it.
Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu إنما الخمر والميسر والأنصاب والأزلام رجس من عمل الشيطان فاجتنبوه لعلكم تفلحون.
Believers, intoxicants, games of chance, idolatrous sacrifices at altars, and divining arrows are all abominations, the handiwork of Satan. So turn wholly away from it, that you may attain to true success. Believers, intoxicants, games of chance, idolatrous sacrifices at altars, and divining arrows are all abominations. For altars and divination by arrows, see notes 12 and 14 above. For games of chance, see note 14 above. While divination by arrow shooting essentially constitutes a game of chance, there is nevertheless a certain difference between the two. Since divination by arrow shooting, in addition to being a game of chance, is also tainted with polytheistic beliefs and superstitions. As for games of chance, this expression is applied to those games and acts in which accidental factors are considered the criteria for acquisition, fortune-making, and the division of goods and property. The handiwork of Satan. So turn wholly away from it, that you may attain to true success. In this verse, 4 things are categorically prohibited. A. Intoxicants. B. Games of chance. C. Places consecrated for the worship of anyone else besides God, and altars for either sacrifices or offerings in the name of others than God. And D. Polytheistic divination by arrow shooting. The last 3 items have already been explained. See Towards Understanding the Quran, Volume 1, Surah 2, 219, Note 235, and Surah 5, 3, Note 14, above. 2 injunctions had already been revealed concerning the prohibition of intoxicants. See Surahs 2:219 and 4:43. Before the revelation of the last injunction, the Prophet, peace be upon him, had warned the people that intoxicants were highly displeasing to God. Hinting at the possibility of their being prohibited, he advised people to dispose of intoxicants if they had any. A little later on, the present verse was revealed, and the Prophet, peace be upon him, then proclaimed that those who had intoxicants should neither consume nor sell them, but rather destroy them. Intoxicating liquors were poured into the streets of Medina. When asked if such liquor might be offered to the Jews as a gift, the Prophet, peace be upon him, replied in the negative and said, "He who has prohibited it has also required that it not be given away as a gift." Some people inquired whether it was permitted to make vinegar out of such liquor. The Prophet, peace be upon him, told them not to do so, but to throw it away instead. Another person asked insistently whether or not an intoxicant could be used as medicine. The Prophet, peace be upon him, replied that far from being a remedy for any malady, it was in itself a malady. Others sought permission to consume intoxicating liquor on the plea that they lived in a very cold region and had to work very hard, and that the people of that region habitually drank intoxicants to combat exhaustion and cold. The Prophet, peace be upon him, inquired if the drink concerned did cause intoxication. On being told that it did, he said that they should abstain from it. They pointed out that the people of their region would not accept this, to which the Prophet, peace be upon him, replied that they should fight them. It is reported by Abdullah ibn Umar that the Prophet, peace be upon him, said, "God has cursed khamr, wine, and him who drinks it, him who provides it to others, and him who buys or sells it, him who squeezes the grapes into wine, and him who causes others to squeeze grapes in order to make wine, him who carries it, and him to whom it is carried." According to another tradition, the Prophet, peace be upon him, instructed not to eat at the table where intoxicating drinks were being taken. In the beginning, the Prophet, peace be upon him, even forbade the use of vessels in which intoxicating drinks had either been made or served. Later on, when the prohibition of drinks was completely observed, the Prophet, peace be upon him, withdrew the interdiction regarding the use of these vessels. Though the word khamra in Arabic means literally the drink made from grapes, it was also used figuratively for intoxicating liquors made from wheat, barley, raisins, dates, and honey. The Prophet, peace be upon him, applied the prohibition of wine to all intoxicants. In this regard, we find categorical statements from the Prophet, peace be upon him, embodied in traditions. Every intoxicant is khamra, and every intoxicant is prohibited. Every drink which causes intoxication is prohibited. I forbid everything which intoxicates. In a Friday sermon, Umar defined khamr in the following manner. Whatever takes hold of the mind is khamr. The Prophet, peace be upon him, also enunciated the following principle. If anything causes intoxication when used in large quantity, even a small quantity of it is prohibited. If a large quantity of something causes intoxication, to drink even a palmful of it is prohibited. In the time of the Prophet, peace be upon him, no specific punishment had been laid down for drinking. A person caught drunk would be struck with shoes, fists, and whips made of twisted cloth and palm sticks. The maximum number of lashes to which any culprit was subjected was 40. In the time of Abu Bakr, the punishment continued to be 40 lashes. In the time of Umar, the punishment initially remained at 40 lashes also, but when he saw people persist in drinking, he fixed the punishment at 80 lashes after consulting the companions. This was considered the prescribed legal punishment for drinking by Malik and Abu Hanifa, and even by Shafi according to one tradition. But Ahmad bin Hanbal, and according to a variant tradition, Shafi considered the punishment to consist of 40 lashes, and Ali is reported to have preferred this opinion. According to Islamic law, it is the bounden duty of an Islamic government to enforce this prohibition. In the time of Umar, the shop of a member of the Thaqif tribe by the name of Ruwaishid was burnt down because he carried on the sale of liquor. On another occasion, a whole hamlet was set on fire because it had become a center of illegal traffic in liquor.
إنما يريد الشيطان أن يوقع بينكم العداوة والبغضاء في الخمر والميسر ويصدكم عن ذكر الله وعن الصلاة فهل أنتم منتهون.
By intoxicants and games of chance, Satan only desires to create enmity and hatred between you, and to turn you away from the remembrance of Allah and from prayer. Will you then desist?
وَأَطِيعُوا اللَّهَ وَأَطِيعُوا الرَّسُولَ وَاحْذَرُوا فَإِن تَوَلَّيْتُمْ فَاعْلَمُوا أَنَّمَا عَلَى رَسُولِنَا الْبَلَاغُ الْمُبِينُ.
Obey Allah and obey the Messenger and beware. But if you turn away, then know well that our Messenger had merely to deliver the message clearly.
ليس على الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات جناح فيما طعموا إذا ما اتقوا وآمنوا وعملوا الصالحات ثم اتقوا وأحسنوا والله يحب المحسنين.
There will be no blame on those who believe and do righteous deeds for whatever they might have partaken in the past, as long as they refrain from things prohibited and persist in their belief and do righteous deeds and continue to refrain from whatever is forbidden and submit to divine commandments and persevere in doing good, fearing Allah. Allah loves those who do good.